For the next few minutes, we would like to invite you to expand your attention like the vastness of the ocean, and at the same time to draw with full focus from what we are going to share with you. Listen not only with your ears, but above all with an open heart. You don't have to understand everything immediately, but allow yourself the next few minutes to let it sink into the depths of your being. That is the invitation. Welcome, Pari. Maybe let's start with sexual activity. Because at least I know that there are some traditions in spiritual practice, for example, that they recommend to stop your sexual activities because it hinders you in your spiritual progress. So how does it correlate with each other, your spirituality and your sexuality?
It's actually a very low-grade definition of activities that one should do or not do. And especially poor sexuality is always a main topic, main issue around these negators and people that think that certain activities should be done and shouldn't be done the other way. If one does not acknowledge sexuality being the primal force of this whole existential manifestation, one cannot reach anywhere else. So sexual energy should be worshipped and should be allowed and accepted as that what it is. It is a natural expression of plus and minus, of life and death, of all these antagonistic opposites, so-called opposites, that create together the spark of life. So without sexual energy, there is also no life possible. As simple as that. I know about many schools that think that sexual activity is opposed to meditation. Exactly the contrary is true. If somebody suppresses one part of life energy and life force in him, he's suppressing the whole rest of the ladder, because this ladder starts with this primal force. Sexual energy is something that needs to be accepted and worshipped, not as something that one has to over-indulge in and over-emphasize, but it's as important as going to the toilet. If somebody would say it's not good to go and defecate daily in the toilet, because one can also define this also as kind of a sexual activity, to go and take a shower and then be friendly to your body, touch this beautiful body. If this is not allowed, so to say, it means that person, that school has a certain problem. It is life negating, and I'm absolutely opposed to that. And moksha, liberation, is nothing else other than knowing for certainty who you are and who you are not. So if you have a body, but you know you're not the body, you let the body live, you let it breathe, eat, drink. If you're in a relationship, you have all kind of physical activities, also sexual activities, as natural as anything could be. If you negate it, it means you negate life. As simple as that.
So, what do you say, like we said before, living this I am-ness, presence, consciousness, however you call it, is this also the pathway towards a sexual fulfilled life? And what does it mean?
Sexually fulfilled life is a very interesting term, because either you are fulfilled, you're living a fulfilled life and sexuality is part of it, or your life is not fulfilled and you use sexuality to make it more fulfilled. Many people think this way and they try to upgrade their sexual life in this way or the other. There's many schools for that, many techniques. Again, the same tendency to manipulate, to improve, to enhance, to bring into focus. For me, sexuality, the moment a person is with himself and understands what is I-amness, it's a very natural phenomenon. It's friendliness expressed in also with the body. It's not something that one does. It's something that can happen, and you allow the body to express itself through its means, without interfering, without pushing it, without guiding it. You just allow the body to express itself. And I-amness is not a contradiction to sexual activity at all. Actually, I had also sometimes these concepts when I was... The younger I was, the more I had these kind of concepts. The more I allow life to unfold more and more and more and more and more, the more I see that everything is divine. Everything is pure creativity, pure presence to be enjoyed. It doesn't mean I'm dependent on being sexually fulfilled. That is the other story of the coin. And even if there was no sexual activity, I would not need that to feel as a person, as a human existence, fulfilled. Fulfillment is a completely different story. I would miss. Like if you like to eat something well and you don't get your food, you might even feel physically that you miss it. And it's absolutely okay to miss it. It's absolutely okay to miss sexual activity as much as you miss maybe good food or good talk with some good friend once in a while. That really gives you the feeling of connection, and it's also an important part. And sexuality is nothing else than connecting. Connection with yourself and with the world through the body in this case.
So in Sanskrit, there are couple of terms, and as we know that you love to practice mantras, but you also have the term like the yantras, and then you also have the word tantra. So how are they connected to each other, and what is it exactly? Because it became somehow from the east to the west, people are practicing, but what state of mind or what state of being really goes to the root of mantra, yantra, tantra?
All these three techniques, mantra, yantra, and tantra, point ultimately to the same foundation, means worship and consciousness and attentiveness and honesty towards the source of our being. You cannot practice mantra without the honesty and authenticity and without understanding why you use mantra. Why you use mantra? You use a mantra to reconnect the mind, the so-called monkey mind that likes to jump around, with its source. And you can use it either way you want. You can use it in a singing way, in a silent way, you can even drink your mantra while you drink some glass of water. You can drink your mantra consciously, so to say, imbibing it into the body in the hope that even your cells will get the information. And you can do the same with yantra also. What is the meaning of yantra? It's also to guide your attention back to the unity that is creating all these forms, all these different aspects, all the different dimensions. The same foundation. And tantra is in its essence actually nothing else but worshiping even this love between two humans to find out the third partner in these two humans. And often human relationships have exactly this problem, that they forget the third partner, which is always this nameless, formless, existent source of love that expresses itself in this form or in that form. If one forgets this, then one identifies with, I want this, I didn't get what I wanted, so she or he will not get what he wants, also to give it back to him, and all these human aspects of action, reaction come into it. So all these three aspects, and meditation is actually another one I would include, is again also to refocus, to remember that forgotten essence that we are. Without this, nothing what we do makes really sense, because we stay in a separation with the world. Only if we understand we are the world, there is no separation between me and the world. There is no separation between me and the source of love. No separation between me and the source of truth. In other words, even the sacrilege thought, I am truth. I am that what I'm looking for. My God. This is actually a very humbling discovery, that there is not even a separation possible between that what you want and between the reality of who you are. And as long as it's fun to feel separate and to look for what you want, this is called human, normal human life with its ups and its downs. You know, but here and there, some people start to really look into these matters, and they discover sooner or later, okay, I can do this with life. I can, in positive terms now, I can direct life. I can direct my desires, my wishes through Tantra, through this and that. I can experiment on all kind of levels, also on a tantric way. Why not? The body is there to be experienced and loved, but not forgetting the source of all this. Otherwise, one gets lost then in Tantra. One can also get lost in mantra, putting all your hope, the mantra will do the job. No, no, you are already at the goal, and the mantra helps you to remember. The tantra helps you also to refocus. Without your connection to love itself, the partner, the poor partner, is completely impotent. If one expects everything from the partner, good luck. ¶¶